Well, in the second book, Effective Domain, Bloom writes, there are many stories of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between parents and children. What a damning statement. And yet every teacher is trained to apply this curriculum in the classroom. The educator does not have to tell the students to attack the father's authority or the parent's authority when they get home. They may already be doing that, but now it's on steroids. All they have to do is justify the students' lust of the moment that the world is stimulating. And the children will do that automatically without having to be told. Bloom writes in his taxonomy, Bloom's taxonomies are a psychological classification system used to develop attitudes and values which are not shaped by the parents. Quote unquote. Ordering different kinds of affective behavior. The range of emotions organized into value systems and philosophies of life. See, from traditional to transformational, through transitional. It's a spectrum. Most agree, agree, disagree, most disagree. It's all opinion. Ordering different kinds of affective behavior. The range of emotions organized into value systems and philosophies of life. It was the view of the group that educational objectives stated in the behavior form have their counterparts in the behavior of individuals, observable and describable. Remember I said earlier, observable and repeatable? Describable is an opinion. Slight of words, major consequence, major consequence. Observable and describable, therefore classifiable. The true science is observable and repeatable. It's objective. This is all subjective. Only those educational programs which can be specified in terms of intended student behaviors can be classified. Stimulus response. Only that environment that looks at stimulus response can be classified. In other words, any environment that is based upon being told is gone. It doesn't exist. The father no longer exists in the classroom. God no longer exists in the classroom. God no longer exists in the workplace. God no longer exists in the courtroom. God no longer exists anywhere in society. God no longer exists in the weather report, in the media, in the news. Everywhere you turn, God no longer exists. Only those educational programs which can be specified in terms of intended student behaviors can be classified. What we are classifying is the intended behavior of students, the ways in which individuals are to act, think, or feel as a result of participating in some unit of instruction. And he recognized the tradition. Well, the tradition will produce patriarchal students. Of course, they're in stimulus response. It's not always true because of the heart of man. Transitional would be transitional students, and transformational would be transformational students. So they look at the students that are coming out of the classroom, and it's a grading system. It's a national grading system, grades the school, which grades the teachers. And if the teachers aren't participating, that test will reveal. And therefore, the schools can be punished if they're not doing Marxism. Yeah, whoever develops the test controls the outcome. National tests, and these guys all took over the national. They couldn't do the local. But they found out that if all the students have to take the national test and they control the development of that test, they control the outcome. What we're classifying is the intended behavior of students, the way in which the individuals are to act, think, or feel. That's the paradigm as a result of participating in some unit of instruction, ordering and relating the different kinds of affective behavior. It's all based on feelings now. Not facts, not the way they've learned, but their impulses and urges. We need to provide the range of emotion from neutrality through mild to strong emotion, most alike, dislike, whatever, probably of positive, but possibly also of negative kind, organized into value systems and philosophies of life. Many of these changes are produced by association with peers who have less authoritarian points of view, as well as the impact of a great many courses of study in which the authoritarian pattern is in some ways brought into question while more rational and non-authoritarian behaviors are emphasized. The student must feel free to say he dislikes whatever it is and not have to worry about being punished for his reaction. That's in Bloom's taxonomy. Every teacher certified. Every school is accredited based upon their participation. This is the actual steps of brainwashing. Now, brainwashing is washing of the father's authority from the brain. Hunter wrote a book on brainwashing, but he never explained it. He just showed the symptoms of it. This is an explanation. This was by Edgar Sheen and Warren Bennis, Personal Organizational Change Through Group Methods, the Laboratory Approach. The manner in which the prisoner, now they study how the communist Chinese practice this process, okay, of brainwashing, and of washing the father's authority from the brain. And that's correlated to nationalism. The manner in which the prisoner came to be influenced to accept the communist definition of his guilt can best be described by distinguishing two broad phases. Number one, a process of unfreezing. Now, let me stop and explain unfreezing. I've written the issue unfreezing, moving, or changing, refreezing people, force field analysis, and group dynamics. Those are three different issues. Unfreezing, and this is what Irvin Yalom defines it, unfreezing, this term, also adapted from Lewin change theory, refers to the process of disconforming an individual's former belief system. A successful change includes, therefore, three aspects. Unfreezing, the present level. In other words, if we go into dialogue. Moving to the new level, that's consensus, or that's the dialogue of opinions. And then the freezing group life in the new level, that's participating in a project. Sheen continues, in brief, unfreezing is a breaking down of the mores, customs, and traditions of an individual, the old way of doing things, so that he is ready to accept new alternatives. Now, let's get back into the method of brainwashing. And this is by Warren Bennis, excuse me. It's Interpersonal Dynamics Essay on Reading and Human Relations. You'll have to look at my article to get that all cleared up, sort of muddled through that. But the training on the brainwashing part, in brief, this is the brain technical definition of brainwashing. The manner in which the prisoner came to be influenced to accept the communist definition of his guilt can best be described by distinguishing two broad phases, a process of unfreezing, in which the prisoner's physical resistance. Now, your child's not going to go up and tell the teacher to leave the room. He is now bound because you sent him there. You assumed it was going to be traditional education, reinforcing or at least not attacking your standards as a parent or the parental authority itself. And so your child is physically restrained. He cannot, and you wouldn't want him to. But he's now in that group grade, and he physically cannot risk. If he leaves, he's gone. The grade is gone. The only way you can get to your job is through the process. That was the key to this whole thing. The only way you can get ahead is through the process. The only way you can get across the room from one side to the other is through the process. And so your physical resistance is gone. Your social and emotional support, unless you have one or two or three supporting you and nobody, because all I have to do as a facilitator, find what you and the other person would disagree on and focus on it, and you're not working together. Even though you believe in right and wrong, you're not working together. And so you don't have social and emotional support. Your parents are there to defend you. Your self-image and sense of integrity, because see, you were made in the image of God, but now you're in the image of the group. And so you don't have that support. Your self-image and sense of integrity, it's gone. If you're a didactic thinking person and you come into this environment, this is all taking place. The environment does not allow you the right to physically resist. You have to leave or throw the facilitator of change out. And the group's not going to support you. And your self-esteem is gone. That's why you have to humble and deny yourself and die to yourself and pick up your cross. be willing to face the rejection of everybody on the face of the earth. And your basic values and personality were all undermined. You're destabilized. This is culture shock. This is during World War II. They talked about, the shock that came with the war. People became dysfunctional. They froze. And so you're frozen with this dialogue environment. How do you respond to it? There's nothing to grab a hold of and say you're wrong. You can't use wrong in this environment. Thereby creating a state of readiness to be influenced and a process of change in which the prisoner, your child, discovered how the adoption of the group standpoint, the people's standpoint, compromising to get along, and a reevaluation of himself from this perspective would provide him with a solution to the problems created by the prison pressure. And what's the problem? Rejection. Isolation. Most are put into a cell containing several who were further along in reforming themselves and who saw it as their primary duty to help their most backward member to see the truth about himself in order that the whole cell might be advanced. It's a group grade. The group is going to be punished if you don't participate. Because it didn't learn how to get everybody to a consensus. Everybody has to participate to the outcome. And so you're put in this cell group, put in a cell containing several who are further along in reforming themselves and saw as their primary duty to help their most backward members. That's why you write when you go to college your testimony of your life, and they can tell. I've read the books. Oh, my goodness. If I wrote the stuff that they use to evaluate students, you talk about prejudice. I wouldn't even say it now, but I'd be censored. This is damnable stuff. They evaluate the husband and the wife by this what the students write. If one spouse is going to one church and another to another church, or one's a lawyer and one's not, and races. If one's of one race, one of the other race, you can actually determine whether that's a traditional, transitional, transformational students based upon the way they're writing. And so you know the strength of the student. So you try to make sure that the teachers then can put those students in the right cell group. One traditional, because you don't want too many, you just want to isolate the one. Transitional, they're just getting along, get a grade, they just want to get ahead, they're not really thinking about paradigms. And a kid who's been further along, who's participated. And you cook them. To help, see, you have to have that person to help the rest move along in the group. Each such cell had a leader who was in close contact with the authorities for purposes of reporting on the cell's progress and getting advice on how to handle the Western members. This was what the Communist Koreans did to our soldiers. This is what the Vietnamese did to our soldiers. This is what the communists do to the soldiers. This is what communism is doing in the classroom. Now, they're not putting them in a box. They found out to do it more humanely, but the outcome is the same. A complete destruction of sovereignty of a nation. The environment undermines the person's self-image. Once this process of self or self-evaluation began, the client or the person, the student received all kinds of help and support from the cellmates and once again is able to enter into meaningful emotional relationship with others. Once he abandons discussion, Dad says, it is written. That's all the devil was doing with Jesus in the temptations, to get him into dialogue. I feel and I think. And he kept saying, it is written. It doesn't matter what happens to me. I'm going to do what my father says. But if you go to dialogue, you're going to get the group hug. And you're going to damn your soul. Period. The same steps are found in Bloom's taxonomies. Bloom writes in The Effective Domain, to create effectively a new set of attitudes and values, this is your teachers out there. Now, I'm not attacking teachers because a lot of them hate this stuff. but this is what they're facing. To create effectively a new set of attitudes and values, the individual must understand is separated from the previous environment in which he was developed. Many of these changes are produced by association with peers who have less authoritarian points of view, as well as through the impact of a great many courses of study in which the authoritarian pattern is in some way brought into question, while more rational and non-authoritarian behaviors are emphasized. The effectiveness of this new set of environmental conditions is probably related to the extent to which the students are isolated from the home during this period of time. You want to be a teacher today? You're going to be certified on this procedure. Objectives can best be attained through the where the individual is separated from the earlier environmental conditions and when he is in association with a group of peers who are changing in much the same direction and who thus tend to reinforce each other. Welcome to the process of brainwashing. Done over in China? Done over in Korea, North Korea? No, done in your local school today, your Christian colleges today, even your home school material and co-ops today. You interested in building a relationship? Or interested in where you're going to spend eternity? They're not both the same. The negation of the Father's authority is the purpose of therapy. There's no other purpose for therapy. Anytime you sit in therapy, it's to get rid of the Father's authority. You don't need therapy if you're under the Father's authority. They're opposed to one another. The Father doesn't give you a command and say, well, if they get in your way of what you feel like doing today, just put them aside. No. And then Irvin Yalom, he really lays it out. In theory and practice of group psychotherapy, without exception, and I put, he uses client, I'll just put children. Without exception, children enter group therapy, the group grade classroom, and I'm paraphrasing some of this, you'll have to read it to get the right quote, with a history of highly unsatisfactory experience in their first and most important group, their primary family. See, that's the traditional home with parents telling them what they can and cannot do. That's God in the garden telling Adam what he can and cannot do. What better way to help the child recapture the past than to allow him to re-experience and reenact ancient feelings? What are those? Resentment? Hostility? To reenact ancient feelings towards parents in his current relationship with a therapist. That is the facilitator of change. The facilitator of change is the living personification of all parental images. See, he's taken the place of the parent. Because he's up front. He's orchestrating the outcome. Group facilitators refuse to fill the traditional authority role. They do not lead in ordinary matter. They do not provide answers and solutions. See, they're not teaching and preaching and discussing. They're not teaching right and wrong from established commands, rules, and facts and truth. They urge the group, quote unquote, the children, to explore and to employ its own resources, to dialogue their feelings, their desires, and dissatisfaction of the moment in light of the current situation, their desire for the group's approval or affirmation. Now, he didn't say that. Let me back. To explore and to employ its own resources. The group, or the children, must feel free to confront the facilitator of change, who must not only permit but encourage such confrontation. See, that's rebellion. That's anarchy. They got to role play this. Well, I don't, you know, I think it's this way. Oh, what do you think? I think it's that way. You know, he, the child, reenacts early family scripts in the group, and if therapy, brainwashing, in other words, washing respect for and fear of the Father's authority from the child's brain. If therapy is successful, the child is able to experiment with new behavior to break free from the locked family role he once occupied. See, he's free from submitting to the Father's authority, having to do the Father's will. The patient, or in this case, the child, changes the past by reconstructing it, creating, and this is my, to create a new world order under his own, his ought. I ought to be able to go out. I ought to be able to do this. That's in your dialogue. A world lusting after the carnal pleasures of the moment without the that the current situation and or people or person or object is stimulating. A world void of the Father's authority and the guilty conscience, which the Father's authority engenders for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, for lusting after pleasure and disobedience. So the child recreates his world out of the imagination of his heart. And then Yalom continues. One of the most fascinating aspects of group therapy is that everyone is born again, born together in the group. There's no more important issue than the interrelationship of the group members. In the group, not only must the individual strive for autonomy, but the leader must be willing to allow him to do so. An individual's behavior cannot be fully understood without an appreciation of his environmental press. In other words, his desire for longing to be one with a group, one with the world. Long-cherished but self-defeated beliefs and attitudes may waver and decompose in the face of a descending majority. One of the most difficult patients for me to work with in groups is the individual who employs fundamental religious views in the service of denial. Now, this is the Antichrist is deny the Father. Therapy is deny doing the Father's will. The third force of psychology, which emphasizes, and that's what Maslow is writing about, which emphasizes a holistic, humanistic concept of the person, providing impetus and form to the encouraging group. The therapist assists the patient to clarify the nature of the imagined danger and then to detoxify, to sanitize himself. See, to get rid of the Father, to confirm the reality of his danger. In other words, a fear of judgment, fear of hell. By shifting the group's attention from the then and there, that's a parental authority, to here and now, that's their feelings in the moment, material. He performs a service to the group, focusing on the group upon themselves. See, if you're more concerned about your child's social life than where they're spending eternity, you're a socialist. Let me repeat that. You can deny that all day long. You can't refute it. If you're more concerned about where you're, you know, the relationship of your child with the world around, their social life, than where they'll spend eternity, you're a socialist. Continuing. Quote, members must develop a feeling of mutual trust and respect and must come to value the group as an important means of meeting their personal needs. Once a member realizes that others accept him and are trying to understand him, sound familiar to brainwashing? Then he finds it less necessary to hold rigidly to his own beliefs, and he may be willing to explore previously denied aspects of himself. Patients should be encouraged to take risks in the group. Such behavior change results in positive feedback and reinforcement and encourages further risk-taking. Members learn about the impact of their behavior in the feelings of other members. See, you hurt my feelings, you know. You hurt my feelings. It's not that you want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's just the truth. It's the agenda is not to offend people, but if the word of God is an offense, then they have a problem. They have to take up with God. A patient might, with further change, outgrow, get this, his spouse, unless concomitant changes occur in the spouse. We're going to have divorce and separation. See, we're going to have all kinds of Pandora's box open. We're going to have all kinds of wickedness coming out of this process. A dysfunctional society, abominable society. Look at us today. Bloom writes, whether or not the classification scheme presented in Handbook 1, Cognitive Domain, is a true taxonomy is far from clear. 40-year retrospect, he says, it may not be true. May not be provable. Well, that's true science. It's provable. Not here. Because it's not. It's so-called science. James 4:4, friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Psalms 36:1-4. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Psalms 10, 3 and 4. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and blesses the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. In other words, always want to hear something new. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 1 Timothy 3, 2 and 4. 2 through 5. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. 2 Corinthians 6, 15 through 18. For what concord has Christ with Belial? Belial means worthless, worthlessness. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. For that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's the group dynamic. See, what's going to happen to me? If you trust in the Lord, it's not an issue. 1 Timothy 6, 8, and having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. And then 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 10. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. See, what's the spirit of Antichrist? Denying the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Well, they might accept, talk about Jesus, but is he user-friendly Jesus? He's got Mary in between, or he's got your best interest in mind. It's all about the love of God and not the judgment of God. They both go hand in hand, by the way. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, that I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of the iniquity doth already work. Only he that now letteth, let him let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. I'll close with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord, and let him be the one who directs your steps. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6.